I want you to turn to the book of Philippians. Say, God has given me the victory. And we've been learning some ways not only to gain the victory, but to maintain the victory. Amen? How many know that if you win a title, you know, just in the natural, if you win a title, you got to maintain that, don't you? Amen? And God just didn't give us a title. He gave us the victory. And you have it right now. You are victorious. And here are the keys that we can gain and maintain the victory according to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 1, you've got to stand firm in the Lord. You know, people can be easily shaken by a lot of things. All right, but you got to stand firm. Number 2 is found in verse 2. You've got to agree and work in harmony with the Lord. Amen? Many people want to do their own thing. And there's a way that God does things, and we've got to work in harmony and agreement with Him. So that's another way that we can gain and maintain the victory. Number 3 is found in verse 4. We have to rejoice in the Lord. Amen? You know, we don't always feel like rejoicing sometimes, but rejoicing is really a way to gain and maintain the victory. So we have to rejoice in the Lord. Number 4 is found in verse 5. You've got to let all men know your unselfishness, or you got to walk in love. How many know that walking in love is the key to victory? Faith works by what? Love. God is what? Love. And love never fails. All right? But we have to walk in love. It's a choice. Love is a choice, and love is action. Okay? And I've talked about some of these. I'm just giving you the list now, and then we'll get more into this. Number 5 is found in verse 6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Say, I'm anxious for nothing. Once again, that's a choice. You can allow yourself to worry. Well, when you worry, you're taking the care onto yourself. Amen? We're not supposed to fret about anything. You know what the word fret means? I found this interesting. It means to wear away or make a hole by constant rubbing. Constant rubbing. Okay? And anxiety, of course, is nervousness, worry, concern. Hallelujah. We don't have to do that. Say, I will not participate in any kind of worry. Hallelujah. Number 6 thing that we need to do to gain and maintain the victory is found in verse 6 again. We have to pray with thanksgiving. You know, you got to have a thankful heart. Amen. Start your prayers off by thanking God for who He is and what He's done. It changes our perspective. It minimizes the problem and it magnifies God. Number 7 is found in verse 8. You got to think on right things. I think we talked about Thanksgiving last week, didn't we? Let's look at verse 8 here. Finally, everybody say finally. Do you realize that really the key to maintaining your victory is how you think, is what you allow your mind to grab onto, to hold onto. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What does it mean to think? It means to believe. Aren't you glad that God gave us a mind? And with that mind, we can think. You know, there's a minister. His name is Rabbi Zacharias. He was a Hindu, but he ministers into the intellectual world in universities. And he has a program called Let My People Think. I love that. I love that. And really, he does make you think if you've ever listened to him. But to think, it means to believe. It means to imagine. Now, if you've got a picture in your mind about how things aren't going to work out, guess what? That's what you're going to believe. So if you want things to work out, you got to change the picture that's in your mind. Okay? It means to consider. Doesn't the Bible tell us to consider our ways? It means to suppose or judge. That's what it means to think. Think on these things. It means to form thoughts or to choose. Okay? And as you hear the Word of God, He tells us to test things. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Listen, if you want to maintain the victory, you can't just let your mind wander on anything. You know, what if Daniel, if he would have approached the law not to pray like this, if Daniel said, well, you know I should pray, but the king made this law. You know, maybe I just won't pray. Well, if he'd have did that, he would have compromised who he was. Amen? So his mindset was this: I don't care what anybody says on paper, I'm going to pray because God told me to pray. That was his mindset. How do we know that? Because that's what he did. He went ahead and prayed. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Well, let's go back up to verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. He kind of sums up what was already said in Philippians. He said, rejoice how long? Evermore. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean you should pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? No, it just means, what's your attitude? How we ought to be always listening to God no matter what. If we're washing the dishes, if we're taking a shower, if we're running, you know what? Just be open to God. Be open to His Holy Spirit. And when He needs you to do something, guess what? When God tells you to do something, everything else becomes less important. And you got to do what He told you to do the moment He tells you. Amen? Verse 18, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Say, in everything, give thanks. That means you ought to be more positive oriented than negative oriented. You can look at a glass of water and you can say it's half full or half empty. What's the more positive response? Half full. You know, because great, you've made some progress, but you got more to go. Give thanks in everything. Despise, or verse 19, quench not the spirit. A lot of times, the spirit is quenched by our attitudes, how we approach things. We ought to have an attitude of gratitude. Prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. Don't even let things that look evil. Don't participate in things that even look evil. Amen? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray that God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. What should you think of evil? How should you think of evil? Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. So what should your thoughts of evil be? We ought to abhor it. We ought to hate evil. Does that mean you hate an evil person? No, because that person could be influenced. That person could be influenced by a demonic spirit. Okay? We can certainly hate the evil and cleave to that which is good. Did you know that? You know what something that love does? Love, if you read 1 Corinthians 13, it never takes account of the wrongs done to it. Love doesn't have a clipboard and say, okay, that person did me wrong, check. That person treated me wrong, check. That person said something wrong to me, check. And then you go over your list. And that list then becomes a tool that you use. Love doesn't do that. Love doesn't think like that. Amen? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 25. If you were a person that was used to lying, maybe you did things and you had to lie. I know when Fiona was hired for a job, it was a sales job, and they told her that she was going to have to lie. And she said, no, I'm not going to lie, and I will triple your sales. And that's exactly what happened. She tripled their sales without having to lie. But notice verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry, sin not. These are dealing with thought processes. How many know that when you come to Christ, you have to think different? Because before Christ, we were used to thinking a certain way. We were used to pleasing the flesh. But now that Christ is in your heart, the flesh is not in control anymore. And it all has to do with how we think. Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. That includes your mind. See, all the devil can do is give you a thought, an idea, or a suggestion. He can't twist your arm. He can't force you to do anything, but he'll give you a thought. And it's up to you what you do with that thought that he's given you. Now, here's some good news. A thought unspoken or unacted upon dies. I mean, you could be sitting in your home and a thought say, you know what? You'd be so much better off if you went down and robbed that bank. Now, what do you do with that thought? That is a stupid thought. When you reject that thought doesn't take root. It doesn't take hold of you. But the thing of it is, if you start to consider and you start coming up with a plan, Do you realize every action, every behavior starts with what? A thought. Even when Satan came into the garden, he couldn't make Eve do it, but he said, God didn't say you're going to die, but you're going to be like gods. You're going to be wise. Now what happened was, she thought, wait a minute, I can be wise. I can be like a, get a clue, she was already like God. She was made in his image and in his likeness. But it was that thought that entered her mind that she acted on, which led to sin, which led to Satan gaining control of this earth for a time. But his lease is about to come up. Go with me to Romans 13. Romans 13. How do you think of yourself in Christ? Romans 13. And let's go to verse 8. Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loves one another has what? Okay. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you're thinking on how you could love your neighbor, what can I do to show this person love? Okay? What happens is, if you begin to think like that, you're going to come up with ways on how you can love people. And your body will then follow those thoughts. Okay? Verse 10, love works no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that, knowing that time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. That includes the thoughts. What are we supposed to do with dark thoughts? Cast them off. You got to put a throwdown on some thoughts. What does 1 Corinthians 10 tell us? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down vain imaginations. Don't let those thoughts that are dark be king of the mountain. How many has ever played king of the mountain when it snows? Person on top, you got to do everything you can to throw them off. Okay? Same thing we got to do with thoughts. If you're going to maintain the victory, you've got to think of yourself as victorious. You've got to think of yourself as valuable. You've got to think of yourself, and listen, if you have been bombarded by negative thoughts, then you got to bombard yourself with positive thoughts. There are some thoughts that you got to purify yourself of. We got to think. We got to think on the right things. Amen? We got to think on how God wants us to think. Now that we have access to Christ, we have access to all of his goods, we got to think like Christ. Philippians 2 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Did Jesus ever worry? He didn't worry when 5,000 people showed up for dinner and that was just the men. He didn't worry when him and Peter were at the temple and they had to pay their tax. He didn't worry when there was a storm broke out when they were on the sea. He was sleeping. And he just got up and dealt with the storm. But he told his disciples, "Oh, ye of little faith." See, now, we're going to have to condition ourselves to not worry. Because for some, too long we've been conditioned to worry. So we have created an atmosphere where it's very easy for us to give in to worry because we've trained ourselves that. Now we got to do some retraining. Amen? Let us read on, verse 13. Let us walk honestly. If you're going to walk honestly, you better think honestly. As in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what should you do with the flesh? Let's say that. Say, I make no provision for the flesh. The Bible said that. It tells us not to make any provision for the flesh. That means when your flesh cries out for comfort, you might have to say, I'm sorry, flesh, but you're not going to get comfort today. Why? You're not making provision for your flesh. Listen, your flesh has a voice. See, we're supposed to put on Christ. We're not supposed to put on the flesh. Now that Christ is Lord of your life, the flesh does not have first place. And we're not supposed to give in to the lusts of the flesh. He says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Lust is just desire, strong desire. So, when your flesh wants to sleep in, when it's not supposed to sleep in, what do? You get it up. When your flesh doesn't feel like praying, and you know you should pray, what do? You pray. When you think you should read the Bible, and your flesh says, no, I don't want to read the Bible now, what do? You make your flesh read it. That means you might have to get into a place that's not so comfortable so the flesh doesn't fall asleep. Because if we don't think on the right things, we will lose the victory. Let's go back to Philippians 4 for a minute. Look at verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, what are we supposed to do? Think on these things. If you don't think on those things, you will lose the peace that came, that passes understanding. If you want to keep the peace in your heart and mind, you're going to have to think on these things. But if you don't think on these things, you will lose the peace that came. Things that are honest. Go with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Look at verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a what? In how many things? Willing to what? Do You know why God hates lies so much? Because the devil is the father of lies. And he hates lying. Proverbs 6 is one of the seven things that he hates. A lying tongue. An untruthful tongue. You know, we just need to be honest. Amen? Stick with what is right. Okay? And virtue is moral excellence. Okay, let's go back to Philippians. Let's look at the next thing that's going to help us gain and maintain the victory. So you're going to have to train your mind. Romans 12, be renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is a daily thing. You can tell when someone's mind is not renewed. You can tell when the old mind kicks in, old way of doing things. The devil's out for your mind. Philippians 4:9. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what are we supposed to do with those things? We're supposed to do them, right? We're supposed to be doers of the word, not just hearers only, right? So another key to gaining, you got to practice what you've learned. You got to practice the word of God. What does it mean to practice? It means to perform repeatedly or habitually. Keep doing it. You know, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. It means to execute or accomplish. It means to commit, to require. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Let's look at verse 19. James 1:19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be what? Swift to what? And slow to what? See, if you're slow to speak, then you're going to be slow to wrath. Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Do you realize that wrath can take place quickly? It can get ignited. It's like something that catches on fire fast. Wrath can be highly flammable. And once it's lit, it can spread quickly. But we have to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. I think that's interesting. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. We got to receive it with meekness, with humility. What does that mean? When you receive the word of God, you're putting your entire person to trust in that word. It's like when you receive the word of God, it's like receiving a parachute out of a plane that's going down. To receive the engrafted word with meekness means, like, if you're on a plane and that plane's going down, you've just received a parachute. Well, how many know that you're going to avoid crashing in the plane, you're going to have to jump out of the plane and you're going to have to trust that that parachute will hold you up. Well, you're going to have to trust that the word of God is going to be able to hold you up. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You know, those people that don't do the word, they come to church, but they don't do it. They hear the word, but they don't do it. They're deceived. And the worst part about it is the devil didn't deceive them. they deceived themselves by not doing what God said. And that's a trap that the enemy will do. He'll try to cause you, he'll pull you into the realm of the flesh so that you don't do what God said. But you do what your flesh says. If you do what your flesh says, you're not doing what God said. And so, then he didn't deceive you. You deceived yourself because you didn't do it. Verse 23, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in the glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. You know, Jesus told us to not be a forgetful hearer. If we don't constantly keep the Word of God before us, we're going to forget who we are in Christ. We're going to forget how to fight the good fight of faith. You know, we got to keep our faith strong. We got to keep feeding our faith the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing. It doesn't come by anything else. Did you know that faith doesn't come by praising? Faith doesn't come by laughing. Faith comes by hearing. But what do you do with it after you hear it? You got to practice it. You got to do it. You got to apply it. Verse 25, but whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, you know what? There's no flaw in this book. Amen? And guess what? These pages on this book can become alive in your life. The Holy Spirit can activate this word so it becomes a reality to us. We can actually walk in the promises of God. We can actually live on this earth like Christ lived on this earth. You know that Jesus, when he walked this earth, he was just a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was God, but he tells us in Philippians how he gave up his reputation. He gave up his ability to act like God. He acted like a man with the anointed by the Holy Spirit so that he showed us how to walk the victory. He showed us how to walk the victory on this earth. He did it by doing the word. He did what he heard his father say. He ministered to people how his father said to minister to them. He touched people how his father said to touch them. He walked how his father showed him how to walk. Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein. Everybody say continue. Well, there's a lot of good starters, but somewhere along the line, they fizzle out. They don't continue. See, the devil will try to get you. He'll stop you from giving. You don't continue giving. Then he said, well, you don't have to be there. He'll get you to stop coming and stop fellowshipping. But it's all a design to get you by yourself. Listen, I've watched enough animal shows to see how the predators operate. They don't go after the strong animals that are in the pack. They go after the stragglers, the ones that have gotten away from the group. There's some distance between them and the group. It could be the sickly ones. It could be the young ones. It could be the ones that think that they're on their own. But you know what? There's no man is an island to himself. Notice, he said, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in what? The ones who are blessed are the ones who do. The ones who are not blessed are the ones who don't do. So if there's an area that God tells us to do and we're not doing it, we are not going to be blessed in that area. Only the doers are blessed. Go with me to Exodus chapter 17. I want to finish up tonight about a story that speaks how God is our victory. Okay? Let's look at Exodus 17, verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, this was after Israel had come out of Egypt. They were in the wilderness, and all of a sudden, Amalek came against them. And you might feel like tonight something's come against you. Maybe it's an enemy. Maybe it's a situation or a circumstance. Okay? And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Guess what? There are times to get the victory, you're going to have to fight sometimes. You got to be led of the Lord. Okay? You can't just go out and fight because you feel like fighting. You got to go out and fight because it's the Lord leading you. Listen, Jesus is the master strategist. He knows how to win every battle. He's never lost a fight. He's never lost a war. He's never lost a battle. He's never lost anything. He knows how to win. Okay? And if we listen to him, we win too. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow, I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. You're going to see how to maintain the victory here in this story. Look at, so Joshua did as Moses said to him. It'd be no different than God speaking to us and us doing what God said. Joshua did what Moses said, okay? And fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. All right, let's just illustrate this. Moses is at the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, if you want to maintain the victory, you're going to have to be in a position of praise, yielded and surrendered unto God. Notice, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. When he couldn't praise, his enemy was winning. But when he could praise, he was winning. Oh, are you getting this picture? But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side, the one on the other side. You might say that the Spirit and the Word came alongside Moses and helped up his hands. Let me tell you something. We've got the Spirit and we've got the Word to come and help us fight the enemy. The one on one side, the one on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Let me tell you something. When God defeats your enemy, he wipes him off the face of the earth. He will utterly obliterate your enemy. Now notice what Moses did. Moses built an altar. An altar is a place of worship. It's a place where you hear the voice of God. It's a place where you offer sacrifices. And notice what he called. He said the name of it is Jehovah Nissi. He's saying, the Lord is my banner. You know, that banner is like a signal saying, you're the winner. You know, it's like the flag that Neil Armstrong planted on the moon when he said, one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. He planted that flag. That was like his banner. It represented the victory. So who you magnify, who you lift up, will determine what victory you have. I don't care what things look like. Okay? This is Jehovah Nissi, my banner. He said, it was a name of an altar in the desert. How many know that God can give you the victory no matter where you are? It's not about location, it's about faith. It's about who you put your trust in. And when Jesus is our victory, we see his power displayed, and he comes to our defense. Some of us need to take up that position and praise God in spite of what we see with our physical eyes, what we hear with our physical ears, and what we feel in our bodies. I don't care if the devil is sitting right here screaming at me. I'm going to praise God. How many know that you can be louder than the enemy? And this is how we got to enforce his defeat. Listen. Faith is not something that moves up and down. That's not faith. Faith believes God no matter what. Faith trusts God no matter what. Faith doesn't move from God's promises. Faith is firmly fixed on what God said no matter what. And we'll get to some more keys next week. But I think that we need to enforce some victories. Amen? Because, you know, the devil's a bully. He'll try to bully you. He'll try to intimidate you. He'll try to, you know, he accuses you. He'll try to tell you how bad you are and how no good you are and how you can't do anything right. But you know what? He's the father of lies. So anything that he says, guess what? It's a lie. You don't have to believe it. But you do have to believe what God said. Amen? Now, I believe that there are some people here that you just need help in enforcing the victory. Amen? But remember, you got to gear your mind a certain way. You can't let circumstances intimidate you. You can't be overwhelmed. You know, Fiona could have been overwhelmed when she saw me laying on the pavement on the road. But in the midst of that, she just said, she came and laid her hands on me and said, no broken bones, no internal injuries, and no head injuries. Now, everyone in that situation thought she was nuts, except for me and her. But you know what? Guess what? I had no head injuries. I had no internal injuries. I had no broken bones. Isn't that funny how we got exactly what she said? See, I couldn't talk at the time because I was out of it. So, listen, you got to speak to your mountain. You don't speak to your mountain like, well, I hope you get out of the way. No, when the mountain is, you speak to your mountain, you say, move it. And what happens? You expect it to move. Can I just give this illustration to you? You got a couple more minutes? And then I want to pray for people. You know that when Jesus came across the fig tree, he was hungry and he wanted some figs? All right? And when he got up to it, you know, it had leaves on it. It looked like it produced fruit. I don't care what season it was in. It doesn't matter. But Jesus looked at it, and there was no fruit. That lying fig tree, looking like it's got fruit when it doesn't have fruit. He said, no one eat of you ever again. Now, what did Jesus do? He walked away. Why? He was fully persuaded and fully convinced, and he absolutely believed that what he said would come to pass. Why? Because everything Jesus spoke was the Word. Because he was the Word. He is the Word. So Jesus didn't even think about that tree anymore. As far as he was concerned, when he spoke the Word of God over that situation, that was it. Once Abraham got the revelation that he was going to be a father of many nations, once his name was changed to Abraham, that was it. It didn't matter how many years he had to say Abraham, how many times in the day he said Abraham, it didn't matter. He was going to have a child. And yes, it took 25 years, but he kept saying Abraham, he kept saying Abraham, he kept saying Abraham. Guess what? What he said came to pass. Why do I say that? What are you saying over your situation? Are you magnifying your situation? Or are you magnifying God? Listen, if you have a sickness in your body, don't take ownership of it. Don't say, can you pray for my sickness? Really, it's yours? No, no, no. Sickness is an unwelcomed guest. But keep speaking the word over it. Keep speaking the word over it. Keep speaking the word over it. Well, I don't feel like it. Keep speaking it anyway. I don't want to. Do it anyway. Because eventually, see, it's not based on time. Okay, well, I spoke the word 10 times. That's it. Really? Wow. No, you got to keep on it. You can't let up. Amen? Now, if you're here and you need prayer, I want to pray for you. If you're here and you have to go, you can go. If you need prayer, come on up here right now, and we'll pray for you. I want you to believe God.
Bought with his blood and I won't be denied. No matter what I feel, he's living inside. Victory, 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 victory. I'll be forgiven and I'm full of his love. My home's in heaven.
If you victory, found that the devil steals from you, make victory, him pay you back.
Victory.
You know, one time a minister was staying in a hotel and a demonic spirit came in and moved the bed across the room. And he cast the devil out. He said, wait a minute, come back and put the bed back where it was. That's what he did. Amen. That was Lester Summerall. God bless you guys. Have a great night.